scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter, beginning with verse 14. And the Lord says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Archaeologists believe that it probably started as a fortress city of some sort, maybe 2,000 years before Christ. It's mentioned in Egyptian records. The area that would today be the present-day city of Jerusalem. Around 1,000 BC or so, King David moved his capital there. His son Solomon later built the great temple on this mount. And ever since then, it has had quite a storied history. Jerusalem has always been a city full of conflict and a city full of trouble and tension and animosity. Just some statistics through history. It has been destroyed twice completely. It has been surrounded and put under siege by foreign armies at least 23 times. It has been attacked in war 52 times. It has had its inhabitants captured and taken away an estimated 44 times. I got one question. Why in the world would anyone want to live there? The buildings of Jerusalem even today show numerous scars and signs of all of these previous wars scattered throughout the centuries. You can still today find examples of where bombs have gone off in recent years, bullet holes. Scars are left on many of the ancient buildings as well and many of the ancient walls. Today, if you're going to build or remodel your home or apartment in Jerusalem, there are some brand new building codes that have been brought into place in the last 20 years. You have to have at least one room in your facility that can be completely sealed off in case of gas attack, and that costs a lot of money to produce. And you have to be able to have that room sustainable with its own air supply for 48 hours. The Jerusalem airports that service the city today claim that they have the tightest security in the world, and that is truly a necessity in that part of the world. Today, Jerusalem is again at the core of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. There have been bus bombings there as recently as just a year ago. This past Saturday, air raid sirens broke out and broke the silence of the Sabbath in the city of Jerusalem, and people had to dive for cover in their homes and synagogues. More than half of the city's population in a poll recently has indicated that they would be more than happy to have a wall built in the middle of their city to try to resolve the conflict. So why in the world would anybody want to live there? Why in the world would anybody want to stay there? It's interesting, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God frequently uses the name Jerusalem, not just to indicate the city, but to speak about believers in the Messiah, believers in Christ in the Old Testament era who live in this wicked world. What irony that is, that believers in this world are called Jerusalem of all things. Well, present day Jerusalem that I just described gives us a concentrated picture of what it is like to live in this sinful, wicked world that God's church lives in today. We live full of tension. We live in constant fear of different things happening to us, Sometimes that fear is a little stronger than other times. There's a lot of sadness and weeping and mourning that goes on in our lives as well. You could say that the city of Jerusalem and all of its trouble is kind of like a microcosm of life for us. And all of the struggles and all of the problems and all of the issues and things that we have to deal with, the health problems, concerns for our children, concerns for our future. We're always living under the threat of another war coming. Every month there seems to be some new conflict breaking out in the world that somehow has an impact on us, that might have some kind of tension or fear that spreads its way our direction. And death, we got to deal with death constantly in our families, in our future, with our health. We're constantly going and dragging bodies to holes in the ground in our cities and towns. Look at the obituary pages. We stand over the graves of our loved ones. People are going to have to pick out the clothes you're going to be buried in someday. Your kids may have to do that. Why would anyone want to stay here? Why would anyone want to stay in this horrible, deplorable, sick, death-ridden world that we live in and that we're part of because of sin? What a contrast to the new Jerusalem that the Holy Spirit is describing for us in our text today. Listen to these beautiful words again. God says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former one shall not be remembered or come to mind." Thank God. "I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy." To those who have been brought to a knowledge of their sin and who now, by God's grace, have been brought to the foot of the cross of Christ to put their hope and their trust in him, to realize how desperately they need God's grace and forgiveness for the hope of standing before him someday, for those who have been given this faith in Christ and who cling to him for the hope of heaven, who are already dressed in the robes of his white righteousness, God now for them describes this beautiful new home that they have waiting for them, all because of the work of his Son. And one of the most beautiful thoughts in my mind that comes through in this text, and you see it in the book of Revelation as well, we see here, "The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Just think of that. To live in a tearless world. I mean, just stop for a moment and think about that. To live in a tearless world forever. In John's Revelation, we're told God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All sadness, all evil, all difficulty, all tension, all death will be wiped away forever. And that great line, "The former shall not be remembered." That's just fantastic. I don't want to remember this earthly Jerusalem. I don't want to remember the trouble that I had to deal with here. I don't remember all of the garbage that I had to deal with in my life and the sickness and the illness and the pain. That will all be gone. God be praised. I don't want to have to remember that. And so even now, God's faithful in this world live with this tremendous hope in them, a sure and certain hope won for them through the work of Christ. And so even though today we live hidden in the rubble and the debris of the violent streets of this world, in this old earthly Jerusalem, even here, because of faith in Christ, live the citizens of the new heavenly Jerusalem. But let us not be like Lot's wife, who as we exit this world, stare back at this destructive, deplorable place as if we had some longing for it. Let us live staring ahead instead to this new home and keep thinking to ourselves, why would anyone want to stay here? Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. Amen. Please rise. Today we honor a prayer request on behalf of Katie Schumann's father, Jeff Schumann, who has been battling cancer, has been given the sad report that it has returned, and has been given 6 months to live. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, by your invitation, we bring our petitions to you today on behalf of your child, Jeff Schumann. According to your will, we pray that you would grant ability and knowledge to his physicians as they now seek to aid him. By the gift of your holy word, prepare his heart for a blessed departure from this life through the comforting hope of the resurrection which you have granted the members of your church. Be with his family in this time of sadness and lift them up with your constant hand of blessing. We commit his cause into your hands, asking all of this in Christ's powerful name. Amen.